Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Amir Adnani. Amir is a real entrepreneur in the mining sector. He is the founder of Uranium Energy Corp, and he has been the president and CEO and a director of that company since its inception back in 2005. And he is also the founder and chairman of Gold Mining, Inc. That's a company that we want to talk to him about today. Thanks for joining me again, Amir.
Hi, Jay. It's exciting to be connecting on a day where we're finally seeing gold above 1300.
Absolutely. And, you know, we had built out and promoted the show today on the basis of your uranium story, and that also is looking very good now, as Michael just told us. His charts are looking very positive for uranium. But you and I were speaking a little earlier, and you sort of thought it might be a good idea to talk about gold mining today, and I agreed because your company is what I would call an optionality play. That is, when the gold price gets to a certain level where the projects start to look economic and become economic, then all of a sudden the market starts to really pay attention. Up until that point, they can sell very, very at very low prices, and I would suggest that your stock, which is around 90 cents Canadian, is quite a low price given the millions of ounces of gold that you have in the ground. I should tell our listeners that you trade in Toronto under the symbol GOLD, and it's GOLDF down here in the States. Can you comment a little bit on your business model? Just tell us a little bit about how you put this company together, what your philosophy is, and how you expect to profit from it.
Yeah, and before I do, just for anyone that was expecting to hear us talk about uranium, you and I just recently connected in Vancouver and taped an interview where we discussed uranium and UEC at length. So I encourage everyone to look that up on our website, and they can hear what Jay and I were discussing about uranium. But when we just go back to the business model.
Excuse me, Amir, just a minute. Amir, let me just also say that your speech there is also available. I don't know if you have it on your website, but we have it at miningstocks.com, the link to that, to your speech as well as our interview. So go ahead. I'm sorry for that, but I wanted people to know that your 10-minute talk is also available there, which I think is very, very good.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And, that's good. So that's all fairly recent and good information there. As far as gold mining, our company here, and the model, I think this is Jay, something that listeners that are especially perhaps new to investing in the gold sector, you know, should or can hope hopefully understand, which is that, you know, there's more than one way to create value in the market for investors in a resource company, and not the, you know, the only way to do it isn't to just go build a mine and hope it all works. There are, again, variety of models, whether it's exploration, prospect generator, asset developer. And then there's the concept of being a consolidator, being an acquirer of resource stage projects, which requires an extended bear market. So I would argue that, first of all, we've seen this business model successfully executed in other commodities. The best example that comes to mind is Ross Beaty and his group Lumina Copper that did this with copper resources in the early 2000, where they basically acquired copper projects pre-production, but at a resource stage, and held onto them, developed them a bit, never took them to production, and ultimately, as copper prices recovered, they were able to get just gorgeous returns for their equity holders and exit everything. I think they were in it for about $100 million in acquisitions and exited with close to $1.5 billion or so in total exits. Now, so now you bring that same model to the gold sector, and we have not seen the price of gold above $1,400 for 6 years now. It's actually a bit depressing when you look at it. I mean, 6 years is a long time, and the sector over the last 6 years has been undergoing this period of underinvestment in exploration. Gold stocks have been just unloved and maybe even hated. And so this has created the perfect backdrop to be an acquirer. And so the model has been to be focused on projects that you can acquire that have been ruled out. So you have a resource, an independently verified resource. In countries and jurisdictions where there's existing mining regime and rule of law and infrastructure, and all of this sounds good, but guess what? When you're in a bear market and no one wants any project, you can have your best picks. You can pick whatever you want because it's like you're at an all-you-can-eat buffet and there isn't a big lineup for it. And so we've managed to put together a portfolio in five different countries in the Americas, all mining-friendly countries with good exploration upside, near infrastructure, and projects that are resource stage, where someone else has already come in and spent tens of millions of dollars in mobilizing exploration camps, doing drilling, doing all the hard work, and established resources. In some cases, these projects, historically, the prior owners had even established economic studies, a pre-feasibility study or preliminary economic assessment. So this is really a case, Jay, when you add it all up, the last time the gold price was over $1,400 an ounce, the combined companies that we've managed to acquire had over $1 billion of, or almost $1 billion of either market cap or sell-side analysts that had published net asset valuations on them. Mm-hmm. We've acquired everything for around $80 million in stock. So these are stock-based acquisitions that we have made. So I'm really excited about this because obviously we could very well be set up in a way this year to see $1,400 gold again. And I think it's going to just really be exciting for a company like Gold Mining that is positioned so well. And you know, Jay, the key with a strategy like this is to have a very tight burn rate because this is almost like creating a dated call option on gold.
Right.
With so much gold resources in the ground. And you and I both know the value of an option will be much greater if it can last longer. In this instance, it means low G&A and not incurring dilution. Jay, it's 2019. The last time Gold Mining raised money was 2016. It's sort of unheard of in the junior resource sector for a company to manage its finances and balances the balance sheet so well that it doesn't need to go to market. And as of this month, we've even disclosed already that we have over $9 million of cash on hand, and the company's budgeted activities, which is minimum license requirements and G&A, and just the cost to basically maintain a portfolio in five different countries for the next year is expected to be $5 million. So this company is well-funded and can really be that long-dated call option for gold with a resource portfolio right now that is 9.5 million ounces of M&I resources and about 11.7 million ounces of inferred resources.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. And you are, of course, you're in Canada, in the United States, in Alaska. You are also, you're in Brazil. You're in Peru, and I guess you're in Ecuador. Is that right?
You got them all. We're almost there. Let's recap. U.S., Canada, Colombia, Peru,
Colombia.
And Brazil. Yeah, not
Colombia.
Ecuador, Colombia.
Right. Yeah. Now, Amira, do you plan to do any advancement of these projects on your own this year, or what is your policy now? How would you expect to cash out? Let's say, I know you're not going to be in a hurry right now. You're waiting for higher gold prices and probably some people start knocking on your door. I can't imagine some of the major mining companies that are starving for reserves in the future wouldn't have their eyes on some of your larger projects at least. But what is your strategy for cashing out on this thing going forward? I know we're going to see higher share price as the price of gold rises, but are you looking at some point, do you have in your mind how you're going to exit, your exit strategy?
Well, first of all, I think if we look back to 2016, the only year over the last 6 years where we had a slightly better gold market, it's quite instructive as to what are two things that can happen. One thing that happened is that we saw very dominant performance in our equity, Jay. As you know, we were the best performing gold stock in 2016. I think we were up about 400%. The GDXJ was up about 180%. That really speaks to the leverage that the company has to the gold price that you're speaking to. But we also saw that just because the gold price was stronger in 2016, it didn't mean that we had limited opportunities to make acquisitions. And so my point is, to answer your question about plans, our plan still would be that if we end up in 2019 with a stronger gold market and our shares are trading and performing better and we find those relatively accretive acquisition mm-hmm. opportunities that add more value on a per-share basis than the dilution effect, that mm-hmm. those are great deals for us to do. And as our cost of capital continues to fall, as the share price increases and the gold price increases, we could enhance the value of the existing portfolio by advancing these projects through PEAs or economic studies that can reflect updated numbers based on today's economic considerations to develop projects. Longer mm-hmm. term, I think the trend that we need to look at is the shortage and the depletion of gold resources and reserves for the gold industry.
Right.
The gold industry today is at a decade low when it comes to resources and reserves. Average discovery costs have increased from $30 an ounce to almost $100 an ounce. And you're seeing a lot of M&A in the sector. The big boys are doing M&A, whether you're, you know, with Barrick and Randgold, with Goldcorp and Newmont. There was some rumors that the South African gold producers might be getting together with Anglo Gold. And so you're seeing signs that there could be consolidation ahead. We already have a number of institutional shareholders, but we also have companies like IAM Gold as shareholders of the company. We have long-standing shareholders like Doug Casey and Rick Rule and Marin Katusa from 2010, and then we have new institutional shareholders that have come on board over the last year. This all, I think, is a strong vote of confidence, Jay, that speaks to the fact that if you anticipate where things are going with a higher gold price, there probably will be more M&A, more consolidation, and we're seeing the early signs of that. I think broader M&A happens once the big boys start to put deals together, and you know the big boys have already been doing deals quietly while the gold price was below 1,300. And that may potentially accelerate as the gold price continues a march towards 1,400. The key is to be in the driver's seat, in my opinion, and the driver's seat is if you control resources in the ground, because that is what the industry needs more of, and that's the position that gold mining is in with our resource stage projects that we have.
Well, I think you make a point, a very good one, in terms of capital structure and having a solid shareholders who can withstand the tough times. That allowed you to build this company as you have. With just a minute left, Amir, can you comment on what some of your upcoming catalysts might be so shareholders and investors can keep an eye on what's going on and the news that you put out over the next few weeks?
Yeah, so first of all, we've done a ton of work over the last almost year in bringing together a really exciting project in Canada called the Yellowknife Gold Project in Northwest Territories. This was a fantastic example of a bear market acquisition, a company and an asset that we bought out of bankruptcy, which is the effect of having a very low gold price over the last 6 years. There has just been these very distressed situations, and we've managed to really take advantage of that. And what happens is when you have to consolidate over 200,000 meters of diamond drilling, it takes a long time to be able to produce new resource reports. And so that's mm-hmm. the work that has now culminated. And our upcoming catalyst will be a new 43-101 resource report. That's on an asset we already own. So that's great to know that resources will increase with existing mm-hmm. projects that we already have. And additional project sort of progression with our Brazilian and Canadian asset that we'll be putting the resource report on. And keep an eye on uranium. We have a uranium joint venture totally unrelated to gold. So if you like a little bit of uranium, this is a company that's 100% focused on gold. But through one of our acquisitions, as you know, we inherited a uranium joint venture with France's Areva as our joint venture partner. Now they're called Orano. And that's something that we plan to spin out and sell into a rising uranium price environment, which we're also seeing happen with the uranium prices up 35% year over year and looking like they could also have a strong 2019. So you get that kind of extra uranium optionality on top of the very significant gold optionality.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Any possibility of any work to be done on the uranium project, or is that just sitting there now waiting for higher prices?
I think we'll leave that to be done by the SpinCo or however way the project is monetized. I believe it's important that gold mining shareholders are in no way diluted or sort of have the capital that we have, you know, steered towards something that's unrelated to gold. Again, this was a project that we got lucky and inherited through one of our acquisitions in 2013. But we'll leave any work on the uranium project to be done as we monetize this asset or spin it out. That SpinCo can work that out.
All right, very good. We'll have to leave it go at that, Amir. Thank you so much for spending time with us and updating us on a very exciting story, Gold Mining Inc. We'll look to talk to you again sometime about that company or your uranium company. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jake.